From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Another glacial outburst flood is underway on the Taku River south of Juneau today. Water that was held back by glacial ice is draining out of Lake No Lake. The National Weather Service predicts the water will not breach the river's banks. The river is forecast to crest just under 42 feet at around 10 p.m. on Tuesday. That's a foot below the height that the river would enter an official flood stage. Some Juneau residents own cabins along the river, but it's otherwise a largely undeveloped area. This is the third glacial outburst flood on the Taku River and the fifth within the city and borough of Juneau so far this year. And tomorrow is Orange Shirt Day, a day of remembrance for Indigenous children who are separated from their families and sent to residential schools across North America. Observing the day began in Canada more than a decade ago. Its name comes from a boarding school survivor named Phyllis Jack Webstead, who said she was taken to a residential school at age six. An orange shirt her grandmother had given her was taken away and never returned. The story symbolizes the ways that residential schools in the U.S. and Canada stripped Indigenous people of their language and their culture. The schools were often the sites of horrific abuse to Indigenous children. Orange Shirt Day is recognized each September 30th. That was historically the day First Nations children would be taken from their homes. Alaska had more than 100 residential schools from the late 1800s until the 1970s. They were run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs and church groups and often banned children from speaking Alaska Native languages. Today, boarding school survivors and supporters of Alaska Native language and cultural revitalization wear orange shirts in memory of this piece of colonial history. In Juneau, Hattush Latish is partnering with the Zach Gordon Youth Center to host a salmon dinner tomorrow with healing activities from 4 to 6 p.m. The event is open to all. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska's plan to open a casino-like gambling hall on Douglas may be in jeopardy. That's after the U.S. Department of the Interior withdrew a legal opinion that gave Tlingit and Haida and other tribes in Alaska legal jurisdiction over Alaska Native allotments. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
Last week, the U.S. Department of Interior withdrew a Biden administration decision that allowed tribes in Alaska to hold jurisdiction over Native allotments in the state. Before the 2024 decision, the federal government didn't consider Native allotments tribal government land and didn't give tribes the jurisdiction to build gaming halls on them. The National Indian Gaming Commission approved Tlingit and Haida's proposal for a gaming hall on Douglas Island in January, just days before President Donald Trump began his second term in office. The land is a small parcel on Fish Creek Road, just a short drive from Eagle Crest Ski Area. It's owned by tribal members who lease it to Tlingit and Haida. Rumors of the tribe developing something on that property have circulated for decades. Last month, Tlingit and Haida confirmed its plans to open the gambling hall. Construction is already underway. The tribe says the facility would be a step toward economic self-sufficiency and sovereignty. Very few tribes in Alaska have authority over land, so they haven't had a way to open reservation-style casinos like tribes in the lower 48. So many, like Tlingit and Haida, have sought to assert authority over Native allotments owned by individual tribal members. But following Thursday's withdrawal, it's unclear if the tribe will be able to open the gambling hall after all. The withdrawal is a return to decades of precedent. Federal and state officials in Alaska have long said that land allotments given to individual tribal members in Alaska were not considered Indian country. Therefore, they're not under tribal jurisdiction and cannot be home to federally regulated gambling halls. In a statement on Monday, a spokesperson for Tlingit and Haida said the tribe anticipated the action and remains, quote, committed to exercising our tribal sovereignty to preserve sovereignty, enhance economic and cultural resources, and promote self-sufficiency and self-governance for tribal citizens, unquote. Other tribes in Alaska, like the native village of Aklutna, had also begun to take advantage of the Biden-era ruling. In February, Aklutna opened a gambling hall on a native allotment near Anchorage, but the state of Alaska filed a lawsuit to shut it down just days after it opened, arguing that the state still maintains primary jurisdiction over native allotments. In a statement on Friday, Alaska's new Attorney General Stephen Cox applauded the federal action. He said it, quote, restores the jurisdictional balance Congress intended and courts have repeatedly affirmed. According to the withdrawal memo, Tlingit and Haida's approval for gaming from the National Indian Gaming Commission in January needs to be reevaluated in accordance with the revocation. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And when Juneau's homeless shelter limited day services this summer, a group of churches mobilized to fill the gap by distributing hot meals in a food truck downtown. Standing outside a white food truck, 9-year-old Katrina Aita Oto hands out styrofoam boxes of hot food to the people lined up in the rain in the parking lot of Juneau's Salvation Army. Tonight's menu is a classic, breakfast for dinner.
How many?
Got it. One.
She asks how many dinners each person wants and shouts the order back to her fellow volunteers in the truck. Most ask for more than one for other people they're camping with. Katrina is there with her youth group from Aldersgate United Methodist Church. She says she doesn't mind spending her Friday evening in the pouring rain.
It's because I want to help people just get some food so they can eat.
14-year-old Xenia Fumaila is another youth group volunteer. She puts some French toast in a to-go box. Xenia says it means a lot to her to be able to help.
No, I'm just really happy that people are being able to get meals when they're able to. Yeah. Seeing that smile on their face.
In August, the Glory Hall reduced its day services due to what staff say is an unsafe environment on the streets around the shelter. The city's winter warming shelter opens in mid-October. It offers food in the mornings and evenings. But until then, the city's unhoused population has limited options for finding a warm meal. So kids like Katrina and Xenia, along with volunteers from several other churches, stepped in. Before the Glory Hall reduced its services, several churches distributed meals every Tuesday in the Mendenhall Valley. Now, more churches are joining in. They've brought their operation downtown and serve food three times a week. Inside the truck, Melanie Venables directs the youth chefs as they make and distribute about 100 meals over the course of the evening.
Our youth group does all the cooking and the serving.
She says community members have really responded to the food distribution. That includes those who need food and those who want to help.
A lot of churches jumped right in to help, and it's gotten more and more people every week. So it's been, busy.
Harold Lloyd Hassell is one of those people. He says he's been coming to this food distribution when it's open as he navigates living outside.
I've never been accustomed to being jobless or homeless in Juneau.
He says that especially on a cold and wet day like today, a warm meal is more than just food.
It means a great deal. Considering that some of the organizations that, were around aren't around to help, such as like Glory Hall and some other places, But it's good that pull together when it does.
And as she hands out more boxes in the pouring rain, Katrina says any kids who want to volunteer, like she is, should try it.
Just don't be scared. Just have fun.
The food truck serves hot meals in the Salvation Army parking lot Mondays at lunchtime and Wednesdays and Fridays at 6 to 7 p.m. until the warming shelter opens on October 15th. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. And President Donald Trump announced plans to increase the cost of some types of work visas earlier this month. It's the latest move to tighten national immigration policy and encourage domestic hiring. But as KMXT's Brian Venwall reports, it could have major consequences for Alaska's schools and businesses.
In an executive order, President Donald Trump announced he would up the price of H-1B work visas, which used to cost about $5,000. Those visas will now cost $100,000 per person per year, according to the new executive order. H-1B visas are generally used to fill high-skilled jobs like nurses and allow for longer careers in the U.S. by providing a path to permanent residency like a green card. In recent years, H-1B visas have become increasingly popular for Alaska schools to hire teachers from abroad, too. But there's a concern that many Alaska school districts can't afford the price hike.
With a pinstroke, we possibly have ruined the future of education for Alaska students.
Cindy Mecca is the Kodiak Island Borough School District's superintendent. She says she texted that to another superintendent in Alaska after she heard the news this weekend.
I can't imagine what our classes would look like without those international teachers filling the need.
There are over 30 teachers in Kodiak School District who were hired abroad, many of whom currently hold H-1B visas. And earlier this year, Mecca organized a recruiting trip to the Philippines with administrators representing the Nome, Bering Strait, and Kenai Peninsula school districts, too. Districts across the state have faced shortages for teaching staff and struggled to fill positions with domestic hires, including from the lower 48. For some, international hiring efforts are a sort of stopgap measure to ensure classrooms and kids' needs are met. Much of the justification outlined in Trump's executive order, however, targets large information technology firms. But immigration lawyers, like Anchorage attorney Margaret Stock, say multiple industries, like Alaska's public education system, are collateral damage.
Chaos since last Friday.
Stock says Alaska's university system, healthcare, accounting and financial service, and tourism sectors all use H-1B visas too. And Trump and his team haven't had consistent messaging about how they might be affected.
It's hard to figure out what to do when the president issues a proclamation that is then contradicted by everybody who works for the president. It's just hard to advise clients.
She says she's seen the White House and various federal agencies issue conflicting statements surrounding the new H-1B fees. A staffer with Senator Dan Sullivan's office said via email on Tuesday that previously approved visa applications won't be subject to the new fees. Mika says she's heard something similar from the school district's legal team. But Stock says it's unclear what final decisions will be made.
And they seem to be motivated mainly by collecting a lot of money from people. But they didn't even roll out a way for people to pay this $100,000 per person fee.
Mika says she's already working with Alaska's congressional delegation to find some kind of solution for Kodiak and other school districts. Representative Nick Begich, who was in Bethel this week, says he's already brought up how important internationally hired teachers are with the Trump administration.
I do support the ability to bring in J-1s and H-1Bs to support as a supplement to local Alaskans and Americans generally. The education workforce in rural Alaska. We know that it's a hard job to fill. And when you've got positions that go unfilled, it means that kids are going uneducated.
Staffers for Senators Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski both said via email and text on Tuesday that there's a lack of clarity and want schools to have the resources they need. For now, the consensus is that everyone's waiting for more details from the White House. With reporting help from Sage Smiley in Bethel, in Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 50 degrees and overcast. We may get some rain tonight. There's a 60% chance. But tomorrow and Wednesday look clear and sunny, with highs in the mid-50s. Thursday, it looks like the rain will come back. And sunrise is just before 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And the sun is setting around 6:30 these days. We're getting about 11 and a half hours of daylight. You're listening to KTOO. For more local, regional, and statewide news, go to ktoo.org.